For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:5. And now the message from the pulpit of Wealthy Park Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
There are a lot of customs that are associated with Christmas. Here in the United States, a lot of our traditions come from European backgrounds, such as decorating with greens and having feasts, sometimes multiple feasts. And we have a great time at Christmas. The Puritans, some of you have studied them and some of their writings, but the Puritans, these settlers in New England took a dim view of Christmas, unfortunately. And the reason for that was that they had noticed that the Christmas, for the most part, was marked by drunkenness in their country that they came from England. And so they didn't want to really observe Christmas. So Christmas was banned in Massachusetts by law, and violators were fined for having Christmas celebrations. I don't know whether we'd have any fines today or not. But given today's climate of political correctness, there is a debate that keeps going on about what greeting to use during the season. And some want to say happy holidays or season's greetings instead of Merry Christmas. I'll be honest with you. People say happy holidays to me and I say Merry Christmas to you. And so schools have changed their Christmas concert to a winter celebration. And followers of Jesus, well, we still use the same words that we've always used about Christmas. But when you think about it, what is the real meaning of Christmas? What's it all about? What is the real thought here about Christmas? Well, in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and we alluded to this in the music this evening, but verse 7, Luke chapter 2 says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And so here we have one of the very first statements about our Lord, about Jesus Christ. Along with that, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." I really like that. But the real meaning of Christmas, well, what did Christmas mean to God the Father? What did it really mean to him? Well, to God the Father, it meant giving the greatest gift ever given. You know, we give a lot of gifts and we have gifts and we just really have a great time with that. We give gifts to each other. I've got gifts under the Christmas tree already for my wife, if I know what's good for me. And she's got gifts under there for me. And we like doing that. And sometimes we give gifts of clothing. Sometimes we give gifts of money. Sometimes I happen to like getting tools, but that's okay. But our Lord gave the greatest gift of all time. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the only Son that he had. And when you really think about that, that means that since he was the only Son, he was of high priority. And we have to know that God the Father really, 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 really loved his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Christmas to God the Father meant the giving of his Son. To God, it meant making a great sacrifice. And oh, what a sacrifice it was. It was the very death of his own Son. Well, then we have to think, what does the Christmas mean to the rest of the world, to you and me? What does it mean to us today? Well, there's a lot of thoughts about that. There are people that want to diminish Christmas, or they would even like to do away with Christmas if they could. There are those of a certain persuasion that really don't like anything to do with Christmas. They don't want us to say Merry Christmas. In fact, they don't want to have Christmas programs in the schools and all of the rest. To the world, however, it meant that God had provided a Savior. As I read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, a Savior that would save us from our sin. Aren't you thankful for that? You see, all of us are sinners. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like you telling me that. Well, I'm sorry, but it's what the Bible says. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But there's a continuation on of that verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, to the world, it meant that God had provided a Savior. To the world, it meant that there was peace with God. To the world, it meant that man could be forgiven of his sin. Aren't you thankful for that? Our God is willing to forgive us of the sin that we have committed. That's the best news I can give you today. God forgives sin. Now, we have a hard time understanding that because in our human nature, we really, really don't like to forgive one another. We have a real tough time with that. We struggle with that greatly. We say, well, you mean you think I should forgive that person? You think I should forgive them? They were awful mean to me. They were awful nasty to me. They said some really unkind things to me. Well, our Lord forgives. In fact, He forgave the people that crucified Him on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if you're to say, well, I'm a Christian, then that means you're to be Christ-like. And one of the main things that Christ did was He was a forgiving person. He forgave sin. So if you're to say you're a Christian, then you need to say, well, I'm able to forgive too, just as Christ forgave. But the real issue here is you're not going to be forgiving until you've been forgiven. Until you have the forgiveness of God, you'll not be able to forgive one another. That's just a fact of life. But then the meaning of Christmas to Christ, well, it meant that He was going to leave heaven. He left the glories of heaven, all the great things that are in heaven. We studied the book of Revelation here on Sunday night for 40 sessions. And we talked all about the good things that are in heaven. That's one of the things that you discover as you study the book of Revelation. And here, all the wonderful things that are in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, He left those behind. He left behind a place that was free from sin. There was no sin in heaven. He left all of the worship of heaven. Those that worshiped Him even. Those that worshiped God the Father. All those angels that would be in attendance to Him. All of these things He left behind. And what's really sad is He came to this sinful world. He came and was born on this earth. He came and lived on this earth amongst sinful people. In fact, the people that He came in contact with were very hateful and hurtful to Him. As we sang in the program tonight, there were those that rejected Him. They wouldn't receive what He had to say. They wouldn't believe what He was trying to tell them. They wouldn't acknowledge Him as their Savior. And in turn, He went to the cross and died on the cross. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. For every one of us. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. He went to the cross and He died on that cross for my sin. He went to the cross and died on the cross, shed His blood for your sin. In fact, He did that for all mankind everywhere. Doesn't make any difference what color you are. Doesn't make any difference what nationality you are. It doesn't make any difference whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't make any difference whether you're educated or not. He came to die for all. And He did it willingly. This is what the Bible says. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't you love that? Our Lord died for us. Even when we were not very lovely, even when we were in sin, when we were living a horrendous life of sin, He still loved us and He willingly died for us, took our place. Let me ask you this evening, do you know Him as your Savior? See, Christ coming to earth was an expression of love. If people say to me, how do you know God loves you? I want you to listen to these verses. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. These verses provide the evidence that God really loves us. First of all, God initiated the relationship with us. He sent His Son. But along with that, when God gave a gift to us, He gave us the very best that He had. He gave His only begotten Son. The only Son that He had. What a great gift that was. And then, along with that, God met our greatest, our deepest needs. We can live through Him who is the propitiation for our sins. Now, that's a big theological word, isn't it? Propitiation. You know what it means? It means satisfying God's holy wrath against sin. You see, you and I, because of our sin, we really deserve to die for our sin. To satisfy God, the only thing that could save us, the only thing that could make us have a right relationship with God, was the Son giving His life, shedding His blood to pay the penalty for our sin. And so, as He died on the cross and His blood was shed, that satisfied a righteous, holy God. And in turn, that's how you and I are saved. It's because of the sacrifice that our Savior made, Jesus Christ. When we don't feel that God loves us, we need to look at objective truth. God reached out to us by sending the Son that He loves. And the Son died for our sins and rose to give us eternal life. That brings us to this question. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Was there a time when you asked Him to save your soul? Was there a time you said to Him, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I confess my sin to You. Lord, I realize that I am a sinner and I need You to save my soul and cleanse me of all my sin. Lord, I need You today. Many of us seated in this room have done that. We've asked Christ to save us. We've asked Him to cleanse us. We've asked Him to be our Savior, and we have confessed our sin to Him and said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Now, some people say, well, I've confessed my sin to a priest, or I've confessed. No, that's not it. You see, there's only one person that you can confess your sin to, and that's Jesus Christ. And ask Him to be your Savior. Is He your Savior tonight? That's what all the music was about. That's what this whole concert was about. knowing the Savior. He's wonderful. He's the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all of those things rolled into one. And He wants to be your Savior. If you'll allow Him to. If you'll accept Him. The people in Jesus' day, for the most part, rejected Him. But now, 2,000 plus years later, we still have the opportunity to receive Him, accept Him. Here's what the Bible says. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's John chapter 1, verse 12. And that's what the Bible says. And that's where we get all the truth that we ever need is from God's Word. And His Word is truth. And you can believe the truth today. Jesus Christ is a Savior. He came to save men and women just like us if we'll accept Him as our Savior. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for sending Your Son to die in our place. Thank You for that wonderful birth that took place. And Lord, we thank You for the fact that Jesus Christ willingly gave His life for each one of us that we might be saved, that we might know sin forgiven, that we might know that we're safe and that we have eternal life. Lord, I pray that You would work in each one of our hearts and help us to understand that You are here to save any who will ask, that if we would confess our sin, You would save our soul. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts here this evening. And with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around just now. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor, the music and the message, that spoke to my heart. I just now realized that I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never done that. And I realize that I need Jesus Christ. I've got good news for you. You can pray this prayer and receive the Savior. If you'll pray this prayer, say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've sinned against You. But I realize that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And right now, I ask You to save me, take away my sin, make me a new creation in Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, when I die, take me to heaven to be with You. If you'll pray that prayer, our Lord will save your soul tonight. It's that simple. If you'll receive Him, He'll do the rest. You can trust Him. He loves you, cares greatly for you. Trust Him today. Heavenly Father, again, thank You for all that You're doing in our midst. Thank You for this time of year, for the great Christmas story, the true story of the birth of our Savior. But Lord, it's even more than His birth. It's His life, His death, His resurrection. And Lord, You're coming again for those of us who know You as Savior. May we be mindful of that at this time, remembering the real reason for the Christmas season. It's our Savior. May we not lose sight of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust your heart has been blessed with this message from God's Word. We invite you to visit our services if you're in the area, or visit us again at our website, www.wealthypark.org. Join us again next week for another sermon. Wealthy Park Baptist Church, where our goal is to know Christ and to make Him known.